Let us pray. Father, I pray that you will uphold me, that Jesus Christ may be uplifted. In his name I pray. Amen. Well, it is a great, great joy to be with you this morning. And thank you to the bishop for the invitation to come. It is a genuine joy to be with you. I have to be honest and say Singapore, the church in Singapore, is one of my favorite group of people on the whole of planet Earth. I mean that. I first came to Singapore in 1990. I brought 10 pastors back in 1995 for a leadership course. And I've been several different times since then. And I just thank God for what he is doing in and through the church here in Singapore. It is an exciting time. As Bessie said earlier, it's harvest time. And we don't want to miss out on any way in what God is doing. So thank you to the bishop for the invitation to come and for the welcome from the cathedral staff. And thank you, Bessie, for your words of welcome at the beginning. As you may have heard, I am from Ireland. It is the doorstep of heaven. And if you have ever been to Ireland, come back again. And if you haven't been to Ireland, plan a visit sometime. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. One of my favorite sports is rugby. I have been told by different people in Singapore that your favorite national sport is eating. And I must say that gives me great enthusiasm. I would enjoy that too, and I do. But rugby is probably my favorite of all sports. And I used to play, when I was younger, a lot of rugby. It is because of rugby that my nose is not the shape that God created it to be. All right? On one occasion in a rugby match, someone's head and my nose had a close encounter of the worst kind. And my nose has never been the same since. In fact, I have had 6 nose operations. 6. Let me tell you about the last one. It was in Dublin. My wife and I drove to Dublin from where we were living in Cavan, where I was serving as a bishop. And on the morning of the nose operation, a nurse came into my room. She said, "Bishop, we have to go through the pre-op procedures." If you're a nurse, you know what that means. She had to explain a few things to me about the operation. And then she said 3 words that, I have to be honest, I did not like. And the 3 words were these: "At your age." At your age. I did not like that. And I will tell you why. Because I concluded, if I was a younger man, she wouldn't be saying some of these things. Then a second thing happened that I did not like. She produced 2 visual aids. They were 2 white stockings. Now, friends, you need to understand, these were not ordinary stockings. These were 2 white, skin-hugging, tight-fitting stockings, which, because of my age, I had to wear 1 on each leg for the operation. Now, it's a nose, but I have to wear they. She then said, "These are so tight-fitting, I will have to help you put them on." Oh. She then rolled up the first stocking, and it became like a white ring. And as and I got my leg, first leg, out of the bed, you see, so that she could put this stocking on. And then, as she approached my left foot, I had a moment of revelation. This is what I remembered. I have two of the tickliest feet that God has ever created. Honestly, you just ask any of my children or my wife, my feet are two of the tickliest. Do you use that word in Singapore? Yeah? You know, if anyone is within 6 feet of my feet, I start laughing, okay? So as she, and I'm honestly, I am not exaggerating, she got this skin-hugging, tight-fitting white stocking over my left toes, and she was no further than 2 inches down my left foot when I was uncontrollably laughing. Now, have you ever been with someone who is uncontrollably laughing? What do? You start laughing too. And she did. Can you just imagine the scene? Church of Ireland bishop and a nurse uncontrollably laughing in the hospital. And that, you know, it wasn't even covering the left foot. Now, some of you are sitting thinking at the moment, what is that bishop talking about? Is this a one-man show or a service of Christian worship? Well, do you know something? Only an Irishman would do this. I'm going to make it worse because I want to ask you a question that I guarantee the dean of the cathedral has never asked you, the pastor, the clergy here have never asked you, and I don't think the bishop has ever asked you, but I'm flying back to Ireland tomorrow, so I am going to ask you this morning, how are your feet today? Tickly? Sore? Smelly? How are your feet today? Can I tell you why I am asking that question? Because God, the God we are worshiping here this morning, is concerned about your feet and mine. He has a vision for your feet and mine. And do you know what his vision is? His vision is that you and I are men and women, young people with beautiful feet. Did you hear that reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah? Did you hear the words that were spoken? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is what God says, not what I'm saying. These are God's words. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And do you know that those words in Isaiah in the Old Testament are repeated by Paul in the New Testament when he is writing to the Romans? God has a vision of a community of people in Singapore, in Ireland, and right across this world, who are a people with beautiful feet. Why? Because we bring good news. We bring the gospel wherever we go. We live good news so that people can see in your life and in my life good news. In Ireland, every day when I listen to the news on the radio, I hear so much bad news. Maybe Singapore is different, and you don't have any bad news here, but I suspect you do. The Christian church, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, are people of good news. And God has this vision of a community of people right across the world who are people with beautiful feet. So you see, it's God's vision, it's not mine. How are your feet this morning? Are they beautiful? Are we good news people? I remember we have four daughters. I have lived with five women. Isn't that a terrible confession for a bishop to make? Four daughters and one wife. That's why my hair... No. And I remember one of our daughters was seriously ill in hospital. She had been serving on a Scripture Union mission team. She had become ill. My wife and I had driven about 160 miles to collect her. She was rushed into hospital, and we were told she will have to have emergency surgery. She was taken to theater. It was quite late in the evening, and although hospitals can be very, very busy places, at this particular time, outside the theater, there was silence. It was so quiet. And my wife and I were sitting there as anxious parents, praying so much that our daughter would be healed. And as we sat there, anxious, concerned, praying, I heard the noise of footsteps. And round the corner came someone from the church where we served in Coleraine in Northern Ireland. He had been going to bed that evening when somebody telephoned to say our daughter had been rushed to hospital. And instead of going to bed, he got into the car and he drove 40 miles to come to the hospital just to be with us. Beautiful feet, friends. Beautiful feet. He brought us good news. He brought us friendship. He brought us prayer and his presence. Think of the person, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, think of the person who pointed you to Jesus Christ, to the cross. That person was a person with beautiful feet in your life. I think of a school teacher who helped me to become a Christian when I was 12 years old. And I thank God for his beautiful feet because he brought good news to me. Somebody in our New Testament reading that we heard about who had beautiful feet was Ananias. If you have your Bible with you, please open it at Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, or if you have it on your phone or your iPad or whatever. Look at how the passage starts. Verse 10 in Acts chapter 9. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, here I am, he answered. What a remarkable man Ananias was. And I suggest to you, we may never have heard of the Apostle Paul if it hadn't been for this humble believer, Ananias. Look at how God used him. He wasn't one of the big names of the early church. He wasn't one of the big celebrities. We wouldn't have seen the name Ananias in the headlines. He wasn't a Peter. He wasn't a Paul. But what have we just read? He was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God used this disciple as a man with beautiful feet in the life of this Pharisee called Saul of Tarsus. God spoke to Ananias in a vision. He spoke clearly. He couldn't have made it clearer. And can I just say something? And we're going to unpack this a little bit more. There are some of us here, and God has called you not to be a big name, not to be a celebrity. He hasn't called any of us, actually, to be celebrities in the church. He has called us to be like Ananias, faithful disciples. And he will call some of us to lead teams and be leaders of teams. He will call some of us to be members of teams. We will never be a leader. That's okay. The important thing is that we are faithful disciples. I read this some time ago. It's beautiful. It takes more grace than tongue can tell to play the second fiddle well. It takes more grace than tongue can tell to play the second fiddle well. We may not be the first violinist in the orchestra. That's okay. If we're going to be a really good second violinist, a really good member of a team, and be like Ananias and give our best. Ananias, living in Damascus, a disciple. And the Lord said to him, go to the house of Judas, verse 11, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Do you notice the first response of Ananias to this vision from God? What did he say? He said, yes, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I am available, Lord. I know it is now a cliche, but it is true. God is not looking for our ability. He is looking for our availability. Friends, are we available to the Lord Jesus to do what he wants, to go where he sends us, to be his man, his woman, his young person, wherever he wants us? We can learn so much from Ananias. Here I am, Lord. Ananias clearly loved his God. He was a learner. One of the Bible commentators calls Ananias one of the forgotten heroes of the Christian church. He is only mentioned one more time in the whole of the Bible, later in the Acts of the Apostles, and we never hear of him again. But look at how God used him. Friends, God calls you and me to faithfulness, to be available, to be the man, the woman, the young person that God has created us to be. And before we move on, do you notice how God spoke to him? In a vision. In a vision. One of the great privileges of my life was in the year 2010 to be at what was called the Lausanne Congress on Evangelism, and it was in Cape Town, South Africa. There were 4,000 Christian leaders there from around the world. Some were from Singapore. And at that gathering, we heard story after story of God at work in our world, changing lives. And we heard many stories from countries where Christians are persecuted of God speaking to people in visions and dreams. Let me tell you one. It was in a country in the world which shall remain nameless. But it's a country where Christians are persecuted. It's a dangerous place to be a Christian. And a missionary couple who were serving in that country were driving one day. It was very hot. And the wife said to her husband, "I'm really hot and thirsty. When we next see a store, could we stop and get something to drink?" So after a few miles, they saw a store, and husband said, "Yeah, let's drive in here." And as they were driving to the store, they saw an armed guard, a big man, military uniform, big gun holding it. And the Christian wife said to her husband, "God has told me you are to give him a Bible." Wow. Do you know what that wonderful Christian man said to his wife? "God hasn't told me that." Well, he was honest. She said, "I'm telling you, God has told me you're to give him a Bible." He was terrified. He got out of the car, but without a Bible. He went into the store. He bought something for them to drink. He got into the car and drove off. Now, I don't know if you have this word in Singapore. Maybe you don't have this experience in marriages, so you don't need this word. But in Ireland, when a husband and a wife see things a little bit differently, and there's maybe a little bit of tension in the air, we call it, they are having a marital. They are having a marital. Well, in the car, these two missionaries, husband and wife, were having a marital. She said, "I am telling you, God told me you're to give that man a Bible." And he was too frightened to do it. And then she said, thank the Lord for a Christian wife. Then she said, "Well, I'm not going to say any more, but I'm just going to finish with this. On the day of judgment," oh, you know what's coming. You know what she said. "On the day of judgment, that man's soul has not been lost because of me." Wow, that's heavy. He was so convicted, he turned the car around and he drove back. He got a Bible. He was frightened. He got out of the car with this Bible. He went up to the armed guard, sure he was going to be either arrested or killed. And he held out the Bible and he said to that armed guard, "God has told us to give you this Bible." What did the armed guard do? He took it. He said, "A few days ago, I had a dream, a vision, and God told me someone was going to give me the Holy Book. Thank you." He started to read the Bible and was converted. Became, like Ananias, a disciple of Jesus. His family completely rejected him because of his Christian faith. And several years later, he became another martyr for Jesus. He died because of owning Jesus Christ as Lord. Do you see how God spoke to him in a vision? Now, of course, God speaks to us, friends, in a whole variety of ways, mostly through the Bible, his word. He can speak to us through other people, but he can speak to us in visions and dreams too. They will never contradict what the Bible teaches. Never, ever, ever. If they do, we know they are not from God. But thank God for disciples like Ananias and that missionary couple in that country who were willing to be available and move out in response to what God had said. Also willing to be honest. You know, in fairness, that Christian man and the missionary couple, he was honest. He was hesitating, but wasn't Ananias doing exactly the same here? Do you hear what, look again at what Ananias says to the Lord. The Lord speaks to him in this vision, and then Ananias is so honest with him. Look at verse 13. Lord, I have heard many reports about this man, all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. He has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Lord, really what Ananias is saying is, Lord, have you heard about this man? He is persecuting people who follow the carpenter from Nazareth. I am one of them, and you're asking me to go and visit this enemy of Jesus. And that is exactly what the Lord was asking Ananias to do. What will he do? Yes, he has said, Lord, here I am, but will he go or will he not? Because the Lord has told him, go to the house of Judas. You will find there Saul. He is praying. And do you notice, verse 12, Ananias has had a vision and Paul has had a vision. We read of two visions in this passage. God speaking to two different people. Will Ananias go? Because the Lord tells him, verse 15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And then, isn't it wonderful to read in verse 17? Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. What a man. That's obedience, isn't it? He hears the word, go. He hesitates. He is honest. But in obedience to his God, he goes. What about you and me? What is God calling you to at this time? What is God calling me to? Are we willing to obey? Are we willing to go? Or are we saying no? Do you know, friends, the best place to be is in the will of God for your life. The best place for me to be is to be in God's will for my life. Read the first few verses of Romans chapter 12, where Paul describes God's will as good, acceptable, and perfect. There is nothing better for you and for me than God's will. And we are foolish, we are fools when we choose to disobey. Please remember this. I heard this from one of the greatest preachers I have ever heard, so I'm sorry that it's not original to me. It is brilliant. Please remember this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit only grows in the garden of obedience. The fruit of the Holy Spirit only grows in the garden of obedience. If you and I want to be Spirit-filled people, people with beautiful feet, we need to be obedient people. You know the old hymn? It is so right. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. In the Garden of Eden, men and women, a man and a woman, disobeyed God. In the year 2018, men and women are disobeying God. But God is calling us to obey him, to walk the path of obedience, to be in his will. And that is what Ananias did. Thank God he did it. And he laid his hands on Saul, and he prayed for him, and Saul's sight was restored. But please notice this. When Ananias went into that house to visit this man, Saul of Tarsus, who was an enemy of those who followed Jesus, but he went there in obedience to God's call, what were the first words he said to Saul of Tarsus? Do you see it there? There they are. Verse 17. What are the first words he used? Brother Saul. Wow. Brother Saul. A brother is in the same family. Do you hear what Ananias is saying? My, like Jesus, he is full of grace. Here is this enemy whom Ananias has forgiven. He's now welcoming him into God's family. He says, Brother Saul. John Stott, in his commentary on the Acts of the Apostles, says that these are some of the most powerful words in the whole of the Bible. In fact, the words that Stott says are these: I never fail to be moved by these words. I never fail to be moved by these words. Brother Saul. What a man was Ananias. You know, I suspect there are some of us here this morning, and God is calling us to obey him by showing more grace, by showing forgiveness, just like Ananias did. Are we willing to forgive? In Northern Ireland, where I was born and have grown up, we had many years of terrorism. One of the terrorist groups had no time for the British monarchy and indeed profoundly disagrees with the existence of Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom. And the man that you see here on the left, Martin McGuinness, was one of the IRA, the Irish Republican Army, who had been involved in violence. That army, or terrorist group, had killed a relative of the Queen many years ago, Lord Mountbatten. And the Queen was coming to Ireland, and at this time, Martin McGuinness had chosen to walk the path of peace and reject violence. But all the journalists and commentators were debating, when he meets the Queen, will he meet the Queen? And if they do, will they shake hands? And they did. Extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. That's a picture of grace. There's the Queen meeting a terrorist, part of a group that had murdered Lord Mountbatten. What amazing grace is being shown. And friends, something like that was happening when Ananias went into that house and said, Brother Saul. I guarantee Saul of Tarsus, the one we call Saint Paul, would never, ever, ever forget meeting Ananias. Because in Ananias, he saw something of Jesus. He saw a man with beautiful feet. I wonder if I may invite you to do something. I would love you just for a few moments, maybe to close your eyes and imagine in our minds that we're looking up. And as we look up, we see 2 feet. These are bare feet. These are the feet of a man, but they're bruised and they're bleeding. They are the feet of a man who is a lawbreaker. They are the feet of a man who is a criminal. They are the feet of a man who's being punished for crimes he committed. And then something incredible happens. That man hears these words. Today you will be with me in paradise. And his past is forgiven. His present is changed. And his future is transformed. As we open our eyes, let's turn our heads in our imagination. And as we do, and as we look up, we see 2 more feet. These feet are also bare. They are also the feet of a man. And they are also bruised and bleeding. They are the feet of a young man. He is only 33 years old. He has never broken the law. He is not a criminal. He is an innocent man. And why is he there hanging on a cross? The man who spoke those words to the criminal, words of forgiveness, words of hope. Well, the young man of 33 is there because of you and because of me. His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God. And he died on that cross because of your sin and mine. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And as he died on that cross, he was paying the price and the penalty of sin. And he was dying for the sins of the world and for your sin and mine. He was making it possible for you and I to be forgiven. Do we know him? Do we love him? Do we serve him? His name is Jesus. And he did it for us, friends. Have we ever said thank you to him? One of his friends, John, wrote this many years later. This is how we know what love is. That Jesus Christ gave his life for us. And we ought to give our lives for others. Friends, those feet of Jesus on the cross were not just bruised and bleeding. I suggest to you they are beautiful feet because they're about good news. And in fact, Jesus Christ not only brought good news, Jesus Christ is the good news. And in him is the hope of forgiveness, the hope of a new start, the hope of eternal life, and we can be with him forever. Hallelujah. Do you know this Jesus? Have you ever asked him to come into your life? Have you ever told him, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin? I want to give us an opportunity now. Those of us who have never begun to follow Jesus, to do that this morning, just where we're sitting. And if you know that's you, and I really believe God has been speaking to someone here this morning, you are here this morning because God loves you so much. He wanted you to hear this good news, and he wants you to step out in faith. Then I invite you to pray this prayer with me. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of handing over our lives to Jesus. It's a prayer in which we are saying, sorry for my sin, for trying to live my life my way. It's a prayer of saying, Lord, I want to live your way. Be a disciple like Ananias. And I want to say thank you and please come into my life. That's what this prayer is about. And if you know that's what you want to do this morning, I invite you to pray these words after me. I'll just pray a few words at a time, giving you the time to repeat the words of this prayer in your own heart, just quietly in your own heart. Let us pray. And this is the prayer. Please only pray this if we really mean it. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for speaking to me this morning. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. Please come into my life now. I want to love and serve you for the rest of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Amen. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person who has prayed that prayer this morning. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Protect them from the evil one. And use them for your glory. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Can I just say as I finish, if you prayed that prayer this morning, please tell someone. Maybe a Christian friend who's with you or one of the staff team here or prayer ministry team. Before you go home today, please tell someone that you prayed that prayer today. And that will help you as you begin this adventure with the Lord Jesus. And finally, as I finish, do you remember how we started? I asked you that question, how are your feet? Well, how are they, friends? As we leave here this morning, are we going out with tickly feet? Smelly feet? Sore feet? Are we going out from here with a vision and an intention to be men and women, young people with beautiful feet, to reap the harvest that is here in Singapore and across the world, to be intentional in our dedication to Jesus Christ, to make the most of the opportunities of celebration of hope? Are we going to go out and be people with beautiful feet? I hope and pray we are, because that's God's vision, and he wants you and I to be a part of it. And if that is what you want to do, then do it, friends. Ask the Lord to fill us afresh each day with his Holy Spirit, that we will be people with beautiful feet, good news people, to be used by him just like Ananias. And if you would like one of us to pray with you, then I would invite you to come forward. Maybe the musicians would come back, please, and just lead us quietly in some music, some worship. And if you know God has spoken to you this morning and you would like to come forward just as our music group, worship group play and sing, I invite you to come and we will pray with you. There are folks here and you can trust them, and we will just pray for God's work in your life. But just let's, for a few moments, just be in an attitude of prayer and worship. And if you know God has been speaking to you, you want to be a person with beautiful feet, someone who makes a difference for God, here in Singapore or wherever God calls us, I invite you to come forward for prayer. And if some of the staff would come forward too, and we can pray. Thank you.